Hi guys, welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. This is Erica Smith and Nicole Carter bringing you all of the information that we are learning every single day in our journeys in personal health with our guts and also with our clients in gut health. So we've got a great episode for you today. Please listen in and share this episode with someone else you think might benefit from a little gut health love. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. I'm here today with my partner in crime, Erica Smith, and we have a great show for you today because I don't know, I think everybody loves to sleep, right? I have been chasing good sleep, I think, my whole adult life. So, you know, when you have little kids, your sleep is wrecked. When you're a college student, your sleep is wrecked. And then when you get hormonal, your sleep is wrecked. So I feel like we're always up against whatever, Mother Nature, society, whatever it is that is challenging us. Sleep seems to be something that affects everybody, right? Things that throw us off track. So I think you guys are going to love this show today. And Erica has been doing a lot of work around sleep and some biohacking. And she's going to share some of the things that she's learned today. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think going back to, you know, everybody suffers with sleep. I think that the number is like, it's 70% of Americans struggle with going to sleep.
Yeah. Wow.
That's huge. And
not
then
surprising.
We have,
not surprising though, right?
Then we have the sleep apnea people. And that's a large number as well. And I think only like 30% of the actual people that suffer with sleep apnea are actually going to a doctor and, you know, actually getting noted. So statistics are much larger than they.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Wow.
Yeah, or much smaller than they actually are. So for me, I definitely struggled with sleep when I was younger and when I had my children. That's probably when I was like, this is not going to work, right? Yeah. But when I look back at my life, you know, we talk about epigenetics and our environment and all these things. And I don't believe that my raising or my parents really raised me with a true schedule. So I never really understood, you know, going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time. Other than when I was going to school, we always woke up at the same time. But
right. Mm-hmm.
That time was sort of a free for all. So I've had to learn all of these things as I've moved through this. And I did have to resort to taking Xanax for about a month after first pregnancy, because I would get so anxious about not being able to sleep. And then if you are listening to this and you resonate, I mean, how many times
totally.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
It's like,
totally.
It's time for sleep and you do all of your stuff and you still,
oh my gosh, what's happening? I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm going to be miserable tomorrow.
Yeah. And oh, I would lay in bed and just like crunch my shoulders, all that anxiety tensing up. I mean, if you're listening to this and you've suffered with it, I have felt your pain. So I did all of it then. And I really got myself to actually sleep. And once I got myself to sleep, it really enabled me to sort of be able to go to sleep easier. But I've learned a lot of things as I've gone through all of this as to why and other things that I could have done to help me get there without maybe the Xanax use. Mm-hmm. Although at that point, I didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. So
yeah,
for sure. This year, I decided that I wanted to biohack sleep in the sense that I really wanted to focus on the quality of that sleep. And when I talk about quality, for all of our listeners out there, I'm talking about those stages of sleep, right? So the light sleep, the deep sleep, the REM sleep, all of those things we cycle through our sleep. And I wanted to really enhance the quality of that at the amount that I was getting mm-hmm. to have a better life. And we know that cycle runs about 90 minutes. So every 90 minutes, we're running through a light sleep, deep sleep, and REM. And I have realized and learned that our best deep sleep actually happens before midnight. Now, deep sleep is extremely important because it's healing. That's when we actually heal. If you've been working out a lot because you want to build muscle, or you have an injury, or you had a surgery, or you're working on mental health, all of those things, it's very important to have good quality deep sleep, because that is when the actual healing happens or the muscle building happens. So a lot of the things I realized is that most people go to bed too late. If you're going to bed at 11, you're really only going to get maybe a 30 minute of deep restorative sleep. So that's one of the things that I definitely implement, you know, with my clients now, for sure. I have the studies, I have the learning experience on it, and I have practiced it in my life as well. So most people would say I'm sort of crazy because I go to bed between 8:30 and 9:30.
Wow, that's pretty good. I thought I was an early bird. I usually hit the sack around 9:30, but that's pretty impressive. And you've got young kids.
I do have young kids, and I feel they will benefit in the end by going to bed at a decent time. So yeah, for sure. I don't feel bad about it. I do focus on having quality time with them during the time in the afternoons that we have, even with soccer and all that, you know, just making that hour or half an hour that you have really be a quality and connection that you can feel good about, offering them the good amount of deep sleep time and also offering it for yourself without feeling guilty like you haven't seen them. So for sure, that is one thing that we do in my house. And it's sort of a rush to get that to happen. But the thing is that for the rest of the time that we are all awake, not just myself, but my husband and my kids, we're very productive individuals, and we feel satisfied with our mm-hmm. day's work. So yeah. I feel it's definitely beneficial to do it. So that's one of the things. And I've noticed that when I don't do that, because I can track things with my Garmin, which is why I'm doing all this biohacking, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have evidence on it. I get between a minimum an hour of deep sleep. And that's when it's sort of late and I'm stressed, or the moon, parasites, uh-huh. we can talk about all that eventually. Right. But in general, I get about an hour and 40 minutes of deep sleep, and about 2 hours of REM. And so my goal is to consistently get 2 to 2.5 hours of each. So that's what I'm trying to biohack. And I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I'm biohacking. One of them is that cycle or that timing, right? So wake up within, or go to bed within an hour of the time. So 8:30 mm-hmm. to 9:30, and try not to go too much out of that consistently. And then waking up at the same time. This one's a little tricky because the other part of biohacking this has been using sunlight.
Yeah.
In order for me to be awake at sunrise, you have to have flexibility with your morning time. So I cannot put my alarm for 6 o'clock every morning, because currently right now, the sun is rising at 6:47.
Okay.
Or 5:47. What did I say? 6:47, actually. So it used to be at 7:15, now it's 6:47. So I have to move my wake up time as that sunrise comes up, because mm-hmm. I do walk in the mornings as well. So that's definitely one thing I've done. And I've noticed a huge difference. Exposing yourself to sunrise rays is not just beneficial for sleep, but for many other things, but mainly it really sinks that circadian rhythm that is extremely important. We don't really think about it, but I say this often when we're talking here, that our body is ruled by things that don't understand emotional or all of these large concepts that our brain did. They're very simple.
Right. And if you think about it, as humans that weren't like living in a dark house and staying up late because of lights and electronics and social media and things like that, as humans, if you just think of if we were camping outside, we would be getting up with the light, because mm-hmm. it's hard to sleep through that. It wakes you up. But if you're in your house and it's dark and you've been up late, that's probably not going to be feeling very natural. But I agree with you, and I love to get up. And now when I see the sun poking out, I'm usually up by 6 or 6:30. And I used to kind of sit in bed and work and read and, you know, do stuff. But now I try to get up and out when the sun comes up, and I really do feel a difference. Yeah, it has helped me a lot. So the light is a big deal. And I know you're probably going to talk about sunset and all that too.
Yeah, so definitely sunrise is important for those things. And it really sets the rest of your pattern for the rest of the day, you know, when your hormones are being released, when your peristalsis is coming. So, you know, if you struggle with digestion, or if you struggle with diarrhea or constipation, you're probably not seeing the sunlight. And it doesn't make sense to us. But the reason is because all of those systems are being ran by these micro little organisms that depend on your nucleus in your eyes, seeing the light or not seeing the light. And it's so simple, right? These things are so simple, but they're not easy. It's not easy to get yourself to say no to society rules and say, aha, I will wake up early and I will go to bed earlier because it's beneficial for this system that depends on it.
Isn't it funny? I feel like when I talk to clients about sleep, the reason why they have a hard time isn't because they don't want to go to sleep at an earlier hour. It's because life and social life and friends, like we have become a society of non-sleepers, going to bed really late, having a nightlife. And I really think it's like trying to put too much in your day. You mentioned that your family are really productive during the day. And not to say that other people aren't, but I think a lot of people are trying to do so much that they end up having to work at night and do all these things at night that keep them up and mess with their circadian rhythms because they're on the computers late. So between that and just the social aspect of it, I think that is probably what I see the most, because people actually love to sleep. When you talk to them about, hey, how's your sleep? And would you like to work on it? Oh yeah, everybody wants to work on their sleep, but nobody is like, oh yeah, I want to be home in bed every night at 9. No, I want to do this. I want to go out with friends. I want to go to dinner. I want to work out. I want to look at my phone. Yeah, I think there's a conundrum there with our lifestyle.
Yeah, it's definitely a readjustment of what you think is fulfilling to you, right? And what and at the end of the day, you know, if 9 o'clock is your cutoff, then you are as productive as you can until 9. Yeah. There's plenty of things that I could have done between 9 and 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, so many
things. It never
things,
ends, right? Really, right?
But it never ends, because tomorrow I would have had that many more. So making that sort of cutoff in your mind where it's like, this is it. This is my day. And I'm going to be done by then. And then the rest will be in order for me to maybe get 10 things in tomorrow instead of 9. I can get good sleep today.
Get good sleep, get up early.
Changing that mindset for the clients. But you did mention the whole Netflix and the social life and all of that. And that is another hack that I have done, combining those sort of things. So lighting inside the home. Back in the day, we used candles. But more importantly, what I have found in the several books that I've read is that light coming from above your head signifies daytime.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So what I have been trying to do in my house is, am I light over here? I'm not using overhead light as much as I can. So I have bought several lamps in my home.
Ah, okay.
And so I'm using a lower, like underneath eye level light, so that it's all of those things that we don't really put together, but somewhere in there, somebody.
That's a great hack. That's a great hack. You guys write that down. I'm going to do that. I love that.
Yeah. And then obviously I do still watch some TV sometimes. So I went out and I bought the orange glasses that make me look like whatever. I don't care.
Not sexy.
Not sexy. It has been twofold for me in the benefits. Yes, it definitely, I still feel tired at the time that I usually am. Whereas when I'm not wearing them, I can notice, you know, if I don't do it for a few days, that I can stay up later. The other one is that I really only watch content that speaks to me, because the colors they're not vivid. There is so much when you watch TV that is dependent on all of the colors that you see. So when you take those out, it's like, no, I don't want to watch this show.
Oh,
it's boring. The content is not really for me. So that has been a major, major, major one. And I think that we're going to talk a little bit about melatonin. And I have my interests in this as well, but all of the things that I'm speaking, right? If you have a good circadian rhythm, if you are sleeping well, if your gut is healthy, which again, they go hand in hand, then we have proper hormonal release. And one of those hormones is melatonin. And so maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about melatonin.
Yeah, I think this has been around for quite a while, but it's kind of coming back because there's been a lot more research about it. There's a great book called Melatonin, the Miracle Molecule. And I've just done a lot of research, just, you know, honestly, PubMed, and finding some really good stuff. But I know that what you're saying probably resonates to a lot of people about the circadian rhythms and the melatonin coming from the pineal gland. But what you might not know is that we actually make 400 times more melatonin in our gut than in our brain. And I just was blown away by that because the light piece was all I ever really thought about. I had no idea we made so much in the gut. So of course, with if you have a damaged gut, like most people are walking around with gut damage due to stress and toxins and the crap foods and, you know, everything we talk about, most people aren't making adequate melatonin from the gut, let alone, you know, the pineal gland. So there's a big, big problem with melatonin production in most people from everything that we've just said, right? That it's really common. And it affects people in not only their sleep, but also in aging, in cancer, and in healing of illnesses and diseases, particularly in the gut. And I found a really fantastic article about, some of these are older, like there was a 2004 study that found that IBS was significantly more common in those with sleep disturbances. So why do you think? Well, I had no idea, but it's because they're not making, because of all the inflammation in their gut, they're not making the melatonin at that adequate level. Another study in 2010 showed that melatonin helps to regulate the inflammation and motility of the GI tract. So if we are looking at, you know, so many of these problems, I like to focus on inflammatory bowel disease because that's what I, you know, really suffered with. And I think there's probably a lot of people that have that and don't know it because 100%. We have, you know, inflammation so much in our body, but particularly in the gut. But supplementing melatonin has shown to be helpful for some of those inflammatory bowel conditions and in particular ulcerative colitis, which is super common. And another thing I want to mention about this. So ulcerative colitis has increased by 50% since 2000, 50%.
Crazy.
And it's most common in 18 to 49 year olds, which is really strange because colitis has always been like the elderly disease, right? Not anymore. Now it's a young person's disease. And if you think about everything you just said about the bedtimes and people staying up all night on their phones and social media and all of that, I think between the terrible food supply and all of this nighttime circadian rhythm business, I think that's why we're seeing this, I'm going to say close to an epidemic with this age range, because we've never had that before 2000, that was not even a thing. And then if you add to that, all of the pesticides and junk that's in our food that inflames the gut. And a lot of people are trying to go plant-based and if you're not getting clean foods, you're then taking in a lot of those chemicals that are sprayed onto, you know, the Monsanto crops. So I think there's so much that people need to be mindful of. Unfortunately, we can't just live and go about life and the gut heals itself and we sleep great. It's all tied together. But I was really shocked to find out all of this about the gut and the melatonin that's in there. But there's some great information out there. I highly recommend the book Melatonin, The Miracle Molecule. And you'll see that not only is melatonin coming back in vogue because we're learning more, but in crazy high doses. Like it used to be half a milligram to a milligram. And now, you know, yes, you can still use it. And some people do good on that. But for more of these therapeutic purposes, people are using 400 milligrams and in a suppository. So there's a whole lot of stuff coming out with melatonin. I think we're going to see more and more about it because it's pretty powerful.
Well, I was going to say with melatonin, I have listened to a little bit more on it, read a little bit more as well. And it apparently, it is very age related because, you know, back in the day, we thought all that we needed to know or all that our body needed to know was driven by the nucleus of the cell. But as we keep learning about this, we keep learning that it's the mitochondria that is so important. It's keeping us actually living, feeling younger, keeping us alive, right? Mm-hmm. So in essence, what I was shocked by was that we think that melatonin actually increases to get us to sleep. But in fact, the studies are showing that it is increasing because that deep sleep is very important. And the melatonin is activating or participating in regenerative processes with the mitochondria during the deep sleep. And this is major for me.
Right. Yeah.
As I am looking at biohacking sleep and all of this stuff and realizing that I'm sleeping, right? My physical body is sleeping in order for all of the cleanup to happen. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have good, healthy mitochondria that is being pushed by all of these hormones, I can't heal myself. I will be sick and I will have deposits of everything. And the gut is extremely important in that because, again, you cannot unlink it, right? So that's why I, as well as you, focus so much on gut health because so much is produced within the gut. And yes, you can supplement it, but there are easy, easy things that you can do by pushing your pineal gland to start that melatonin production and start sending the message that it's daytime. You can sort of activate your gut microbiome in that way as well. So as you're dealing with all of the taking the foods away and healing the gut lining, you can use these simple things that cost you nothing to really push the change within the gut that will let you heal.
I think that we're going to need to come back and do a part two to this because we're going on our 30 minutes now. So I would love to come back and revisit this and maybe make a part two about actionable steps. So you started into that a little bit with some of the hacks that you're doing. So why don't we come back and in part two, we can talk about all of the things and really lay it out for you guys so that, you know, we've given you a ton of information today and there's so much more to talk about, but that way we can come back and really, you know, line item and make it easy for you to start to put into action some of these things that can not only improve your sleep, but overall health and even that mitochondria that you brought up.
I love it. Yeah, let's do it. We'll talk about how to do all of these things to improve your gut health that will lead to better sleep.
Sounds good. All right, you guys stay tuned and check us out on the next podcast and please send us your comments. For our second podcast on this topic where we can answer your questions. You can also leave a recorded message now on our channel. It's so cool.
So cool.
So check it out. And we love to hear from you. And we'll see you guys soon.
Bye.